Greetings, everyone. This is the Home Base Travel Agent Show, and I'm Barry Kantz, your host. And this is show number 410 for January 2020. Actually, it's 2020 already, and hey, Happy New Year to everybody. Well, today's show runs longer than most of our shows, so I'm going to move right into the interview segment shortly here. But before I do, I want to tell you that our website is at hometravelagent.net, and you can email me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS. So, coming up is a story about success, a story about loss, and it all applies to being a travel agent. So let's get on into the interview. So here we go.
Hey, welcome everybody, and we're back here once again at the Home Base Travel Agent Show. And in this segment of the show, we have Susan Schneider. And Susan is with the Twin Horizons Travel Agency. She's been in business for 23 years. She was in business with her twin sister, Robin. And Susan will get more into that as we go along. But it was a special relationship. And I know you're going to be empathetic here as we get into that. And she has some tips and some great stories and information for the travel business. So with that, I'd like to introduce Susan Schneider. And Susan, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Oh, sure. I'd love to, Barry. And let me address the elephant in the room first. The reason I'm no longer in business with Robin is because she passed away. We got the diagnosis on her birthday, having never been sick a day in our lives, 22 years into our business, Twin Horizons Travel. But let me tell you how we were first attracted to the career. In college, we thought we would be going to the Foreign Service. We were double majors at different universities because we were identical twins, and we wanted to try and see what it was like to live like a non-twin, and it worked out very well. English, creative writing, and political science, diplomacy, and we thought we'd go into the Foreign Service. However, we soon learned that you have to be adept at languages at the Foreign Service. And here's my theory, Barry. I think that if you have a musical inclination, which we definitely did not, that you're able to pick up a foreign language. Our best friend from high school studied a year at the University of Madrid, and she would travel as a Spaniard, and she walked into a country and picked up a language, but she has an ear for it, and we did not. So we soon decided that Foreign Service was not going to work for us. The next thing is we traveled extensively as a family. We have two younger brothers. So it was a lot of car trips. There were six of us. But we also flew and so forth. And our parents, especially our dad, strongly believed in see the U.S. first. So as a family, we saw all 50 states. Not too many international trips, but we did that after we became travel agents. One of the notable things about our career, we started as travel agents right out of college. We then eventually managed competing agencies here in Columbus, Ohio, where we live. I live now. And our brother, 3 years younger, lives in Cincinnati, and our baby brother lives on the Big Island of Hawaii. So we had kind of spread out. We grew up in Bowling Green, Ohio, a small university town. Where our dad had a business, and our mother was a freelance writer as well as a homemaker, and a very close family. So when we got to Columbus, we worked as travel agents, then we managed competing agencies, which was nice because they were in affluent suburbs across town from each other, and Columbus is sizable enough that that worked. We weren't direct head-on competitors, although I suppose we were competitors. And we got to travel together, and it was easy to let the manager of the agency go, and we could take fam trips together and so forth. When we opened our own, we decided to call it Twin Horizons Travel. And while we were still managing competing agencies, and here's a tip I really recommend for your agents to maybe consider, we were asked by WOSU, which is the National Public Radio Station at Ohio State University, a very big one, if we would do, we thought, a one-shot, 90-minute live travel talk with the Twin program when they were reorganizing their schedule. And we did, and it was quite well-received, and so they asked us back the next week. It evolved into a weekly 90-minute live show, travel talk with the Twins, on their open line segment, which ran for 22 years and still would be running had my sister lived. The end of the show was coincided with the end of her life. Obviously, it was Travel Talk with the Twins. So and we never thought that she would get cancer, but she did. We ended up in MD Anderson. We really fought. And the diagnosis came on our birthday when we were a little over 20 years in our business. So we had started the show a couple years before we started our own business. We actually did it as, you know, devoted our time as volunteers. But I've got to tell you, Barry, you cannot buy that kind of publicity. And now there was a fun side to it, and that we're known as the Travel Twins, Big Fish in a Small Pond. There was the other side to it, that we did the rubber chicken circuit. So probably for the last 10 or 15 years, Robin and I did upwards of 150 to 200 speeches a year. The rubber chicken circuit. You know, we did the service clubs, Rotary and Kiwanis and so forth. And if you saw my sister and I, identical, dressed alike, talking about travel, we didn't even have to pass out business cards. There was no way you could miss Twin Horizons Travel.
Oh, yeah.
We said it was our accident of birth, but we marketed it shamelessly, you know, like two horizons. And so anyway, we got our share of interest from the Columbus Dispatch, a newspaper of record, and the local TV stations and so forth when there was a travel issue. And, you know, Robin and I would go anywhere and talk. I recommend that when you're courting the media, especially as a home-based agent, that, you know, you are available to them. We actually did interviews, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve. I mean, whenever they, and of course, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving are holidays, and they want to talk about travel. So yeah. you contact the media and offer them a travel story, which we did in the beginning, and then it kind of snowballed, and we were in the fortunate position that they would call us. But anyway, that gives you higher visibility. It worked when we had the office, and eventually we started out just my sister and I and two borrowed desks and two computers in one room, and 10 years into it, we had six agents, and we worked full-time as agents, so we actually had eight travel agents. And then those planes hit those towers, 9/11. And I'm telling you, Barry, we had never seen any red ink. We were in the black from the time we started, just the two of us in one room, till 10 years later. And then we saw a lot of red ink because travel stopped. And my dad had his own business, and he said, girls, your customers come first, your employees come second, you come third. And you run your business that way, and you'll be successful. He was right. He also said you could work 40 hours a week for somebody else or 80 hours a week for yourself, and he was right about that, too.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, we said that so often that our gals had, you could, you know, customers first, employees second, you third, that our employees had that put on a T-shirt for us for one of our birthdays. But it worked. It worked. Uh-huh. Also, we come from a small town, Bowling Green, Ohio. Very customer service oriented, and I have found in my brother's careers that this has served them both as well too. You know, in a small town, you know your neighbors, you just bend over backwards for them, and they bend over backwards for you, and that is something we really took to heart. And I am proud to say we had clients of years. We would do their honeymoons, we would end up doing their kids' college graduation, we would do their 50th wedding anniversaries. I mean, if you establish that kind of rapport and really get to know your clients, and actually, I mean, I know it sounds cliche, Barry, but treat every trip as if it's your own. We absolutely did.
Oh, yeah.
So it takes a lot of effort to be successful, I think, especially now with the rise of the Internet. But actually, the Travel Editor Dispatch, who's a good friend of ours, wrote a column, your travel agent is your lifeboat. And if you can find ways to offer special services to people, and also, if they have your number and they're in trouble and it rains in Venice and they want to decide they want to go to Florence earlier than that, or, you know, something happens along the way, you're there to help them out. That is the key, because they have a person they can call, they can talk to, they're not stranded. I know we did corporate travel a lot at the beginning. Some of that washed away with the rise of the Internet, and they had their secretaries do it and so forth. But our corporate clients loved it, because if a flight was canceled and they're standing in line to get rebooked, they literally were encouraged to call Twin Horizons Travel while they were in line. We would rebook them, one of our agents, whoever got the call, and we would rebook them. And by the time they got to the head of the line, and the airline agent said, oh, this flight is full, there's no room for you to put you on an alternate flight, they could say, check, I'm already on that flight. And we actually had some people traveling for business that were traveling with other people that didn't have that service, and or had booked their own directly on the Internet. And we would always say to our clients, if The other person didn't make the flight because you were both going to give a presentation together and you were from different companies. Tell them their company should call Twin Horizons and do their business with us.
Yeah.
And it worked. It worked.
Yeah.
And now, you were going to ask me about, you thought, some of the credentials. I think there's some things that are really important and especially gives you credibility as home-based. I'm now home-based, by the way, because I'd put the bricks and mortar down. Robin and I were in the first CTC class in Columbus years ago for the Institute of Certified Travel Agents. So we got to put that big CTC after our name quite early on. And actually, the paper we wrote for to get our credential was the impact of media control on tourism, and we each took a side of it. And the essence of it is that the tourist board is going to tell you that India is lovely and come visit the Taj Mahal. And the news media is going to say, cover the monsoons and say it's dreadful flooding. So the answer is somewhere in between. And I guess the Institute liked it because our article was published in their teaching text for about 10 years till they revised it. So that was
good. Oh, wow.
I also believe in the sort of the Master Cruise Council of CLIA, Cruise Lines International. Cruise Lines International Association, rather, the CLIA designation as Master Cruise Counselor. Now, the cute thing about this, Barry, is Robin and I decided that we want all of our agents to do this. And we were like family, and we said, this is a good one. So the agency paid the cost, which is, you know, for a home-based agency, is not minor. And you take four proctored exams that you study for, or at least you did time. We got it. It might have changed a little since then. And you had to do 20 cruise inspections and 10 sail on 10 cruises, and you had to do it within a two-year time frame to get all that accomplished, to get your Master Cruise Counselor. And the funny thing is, all of our employees, we looked at them as coworkers. We looked at ourselves as being first among equals. But anyway, all of the other six gals got their cruising done and their cruise inspections, but they were pushing up against the end to get their tests done. Robin and I nailed the tests, got them out of the way, and then had to try and find times that we wanted to be away from the agency enough to do 10 cruises and 20 cruise inspections in 2 years. So it was down to the line, but we got that. And so for most of my career, I've had CTC and MCC after my name, and it just gives you something to point out to the client that you're experienced. We also are very high on the College of Disney Knowledge. And when the program first started, all of our agents, actually Twin Horizons is an authorized Disney agency, and all of our agents and ourselves took the College of Disney Knowledge and the refreshers and so forth. And, you know, one thing we miss, Barry, is we always said someday we should get a picture for the Columbus Dispatch, the local newspaper, with our mortarboards with Mickey Mouse ears, and eight of us have our mortarboards with Mickey.
Yeah.
But a home-based agent could get the College of Disney Knowledge, and he or she could have a picture taken with the mortarboard. And the other thing that Robin and I did that was a little more time-consuming, because the radio show was live, so the preparation was just know your stuff, because you would get – it was a lot of fun. The last 10 or 15 years of the show, we would walk in the studio, put on the headsets, and the phone lines opened, and it was nonstop. What about China? How do I use a travel agent? How do I pack? Tell me about New Orleans. In other words, it was all over the map, and you never know what was coming, and it was a lot of fun. And we did it without a computer in the studio, so it was all off the top of our heads.
Yeah.
So you had to keep up. The good news is you told the suppliers about it, and believe me, you got the first fax at the time, and then as it went on to emails and stuff, I mean, they really kept you up on it because they knew you were going to be on air answering questions. What we did to play off that is we contacted the Columbus Dispatch, which is a newspaper record here in Columbus, and offered to write a travel column for them. Well, they have a travel writer, so what they did is, instead, they gave us the suburbs, the weekly papers. However, we could write as much as we wanted. So sometimes we had almost a full page with there were some ads on the page, but we were the only thing featured on the page, and our pictures always ran with it. And, you know, so the twins' pictures kind of caught people's attention. And we did a column for the weekly papers every, twice a month. So it was not every week, but every other week, for, I want to say, 10 or 11 years. And the reason we stopped doing it is we did it for free. We didn't charge them. And the agency was getting so busy, and we were carrying full client loads, that we just thought that was one thing that we could drop. And, you know, we had to come up with an idea every other week. So.
Right.
But, I mean, a home-based agent could offer to do that for their locals. And I tell you, if suburban papers, if you find a paper that is in an affluent suburb. Fortunately, ours went to all the suburbs, and a number of them were affluent in Columbus. And, you know, you offer to them for free because the newspaper business is struggling with the internet challenges, just like travel is. That will give you a higher profile. I actually was at a meeting the other night, and somebody said to me, oh, you're one of the twins that wrote that column. I read your column all the time. And I tell you, we haven't written one in almost 10 years because it was probably that long ago, before my sister passed away a couple of years ago. And so it was probably that long ago that we let it go. But we still did the speeches. We did the rubber chicken circuit.
Oh, yeah. Now, when you looked to get on to the public radio station and you approached them, did you have to give them an outline of what you were going to do? I mean, what was the pitch to the radio station to get you on the air?
That's a good question, Barry. Actually, we were fortunate. That kind of happened by accident. They were going live, and do you believe it? They had lined up a gal from AAA, and for some reason or other, she didn't show up. And they were 20 minutes to airtime, and one of Robin's clients, who we were managing competing agencies now, and she calls Robin. Robin's agency was 40 minutes from the campus, Ohio State campus, and we shared a car. Fortunately, she had the car that day. I was downtown. So she jumped in the car, stopped at my agency, picked me up. We were literally walking through the door at Ohio State at the radio station. We'd never been there before, not very. Like about 5 minutes to airtime. I mean, seriously, the first time. And we did it, and we thought it went well, but we thought it was a one-shot deal. And it turns out they were redoing their programming, and they wanted to have a consumer thing. They had also in that slot, you know, we were once a week, and then computer repair guys were once a week, and so they were touching on different topics. And they asked us back, and then they kept asking us back. Now, you know, like I said, it was a volunteer, but it just, the gods were smiling on us or something, and it just happened. And then, of course, we kind of projected our personalities and both being very outgoing and so forth over the years. So we developed a rapport with our listeners. And then they added a moderator for the whole programming for the computer guys and us into it. And he was sort of directing traffic and real nice guy. And he would tease that because we were coming from two different agencies at first, that he would hold the studio door open and we would hit the studio, hit the powder room before he went on air because you were on air for an hour and a half, and walk in the door with like 5 or 10 minutes to spare. He said he knew we'd always get there, but he knew we'd be always calling it close. So, it was a real good opportunity. And like I said, now, not all NPR stations, some of them are so small, but most of them are affiliated with universities and stuff. So if you would approach a college, I found out that, and actually about 10 years into it, our station manager, you know, the Car Talk guys, well, he wanted to model a show after that. And what would happen is they offered it to national NPR. It would be Travel Talk with the twins. And then, the station would make the money. We would still be volunteers, but we would have a higher profile. And, of course, our culinary cruises and tours were sold out. And so we went to Washington, D.C., met with them. They were very high on doing it. And then, you know, these little things happen. We got a quirk that got us on, and this quirk was that the woman who was really excited about Travel Talk with the twins at the national NPR went to work in commercial radio. And the station manager was close to retirement, and so it kind of all died. So Robin and I thought, well, we'll be big fish in a small pond. But we were approached by Sirius XM, the head of women's programming, years later, and actually we're in pre-production for a show. We said we want to dance with the people that brung us, so we have to still do our volunteer program for WSU, and they agreed. But the head of women's programming at Sirius XM at the time called us, and we got an agent because we knew what we were doing, and we signed contracts when we were in pre-production. Travel Talk with the Twins would have run every Saturday morning live for an hour. And, I mean, the salaries they offer were something for travel agents, even travel agency owners. You don't make a lot of money in travel, Barry, but you get to travel. So it's a trade-off. My sister and I said as travel agents growing up in an affluent community, we were downwardly mobile, but we loved it, you know. And by the way, I don't understand travel agents or for your home-based agency, travel agency organizations that don't, travel agency owners in my sister, my case, share the travel benefits with your coworkers because we made sure our staff was well-traveled and your inventory is what's on your head. So if you're affiliated with an organization or something, I hope that they offer, is that, I don't think that's how some home-based agents work. I hope they offer you the opportunity, because the more experience you get traveling, the more you have to offer your clients. But actually what happened with the Sirius XM show is on our birthday, we got Robin's diagnosis, and we actually called and said, you know, explained, and they were very gracious. You remember the people that support you in a like that, Barry, and mm-hmm. They said, we'll wait for Robin's recovery. We want to do your show. We really are high on it. We've heard your show. And we really gave us hope. And then when it became apparent to us after the visit to MD Anderson that she wouldn't recover, we released them. I mean, it was trouble talk with the twins. So if there's another next life and reincarnation, I'm a Presbyterian, so I don't know about reincarnation, but the Eastern religions say that reincarnation, twins souls are reincarnated in tandem, Barry, so if they're right, we'll do it in our next life.
There you go.
But anyway, it was a really, I really believe that the way you're successful in travel, and I'm sure this is true of home-based agency, I have my clientele from when we had the bricks and mortar, but I'm sure if you're doing a home-based agency, it's just, you know, you knock yourself off with service, because I will tell you, Barry, in our industry, the clients are your salespeople. If you take care of the clients, they will say to their friends, oh, you're going on a trip. I know a wonderful travel agent. Not only Robin and I, but our staff, we really, all of our agents had this after we got going and established the business and so forth. Our clients would be our best salespeople. Heck, our hairdresser, where Robin, she cuts and colors my hair, and actually she's my therapist now, because nobody understands twin grief except the Twinless Twin Support Group International, which I belong to. But Janice is my therapist because, you know, she knew Robin. But she also, I mean, people were getting their hair done. And actually, we found our realtor when we bought our condo, asking Janice if she knew somebody, and got hooked up with a really nice person that, I mean, got connected to a really nice person, let me say that. And she got us the condo. But I can't tell you how much business we got that came initially from our hairdresser saying, I know a good travel agent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, word of mouth is great.
Go to the beauty salon or the barber shop, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I could tell you till I'm blue in the face what a good agent I am. But if it comes from the client, I have to tell, I think I told you this story. Right after Robin died, and when I got to the point where I thought I could work again, until then my lovely staff carried me. But I got a call from a dentist, a very detailed guy, and he was devastated to find out that Robin had died because he'd lost his travel agent. And here he is talking to her identical twin sister that lost her identical twin sister. And he could have cared less about that. His problem was that he didn't no longer had the travel agent to do his trips. And he was on and on about how Robin did this, right, and that. And it was lovely and nice to hear. And when he took a breath, I did not say, you know, I lost my identical twin sister. I did say to him, you know, Dr. So-and-so, I have as much experience as she, and I have clients that feel the same way about me, and give me a chance. Try and work with me, and we will, you know, see. And it actually turned out that he has traveled with us since. But his big problem was he lost the travel agent he relied on. The good side to that is that he really trusted Robin and thought that she was doing a good job. And we encouraged all of our staff to take the time to do that. I mean, if you book a golf tee time or a dining reservation, which is non-commissionable, you're not going to make any money about but you know what? It really comes back to you. And for instance, I booked someone the year that Beauty and the Beast, Be Our Guest restaurant, opened at Disney. And they wanted, this was like maybe 6 months out or something like that. I don't really exactly, but they wanted to go to Beauty and the Beast restaurant, and there's like three restaurants there, for New Year's Eve. And of course, when I called, it was full. It was packed. And I mean, I worked with our Disney rep, and this is a family that I really thought that they would, and I got them into Beauty and the Beast. I am guarantee that if they had tried to do that on their own, it never would have happened. You know,
right.
But the effort I put into it, of course, was more than I didn't make any money on getting a dining reservation. But, I mean, it made them come back. And I'll tell you, Barry, always when we sold a European rail pass, to this day when I sell one, we book the city-to-city reservations for the client. Now, the travel agent, if you know Rail Europe, only makes money on the pass. You don't make money on point-to-point reservations or so forth. But if we sell them the rail pass and are going to make the commission on that, why not service the sale? And sure. I cannot I think it would be arrogant for an agent, home-based or whatever, to say, oh, I'll book your rail pass, but you book your own reservations. I mean, you know, that's directing them to the to do it direct. So that's, and at the end of our business for the last couple of years, and had Robin LeVoux still be doing this, we developed culinary cruises and tours that were exclusively created by Twin Horizons Travel. We enjoyed cooking. We liked to have dinner parties and show off our cooking and stuff. And we would locate, recruit a local chef, and a home-based agent can easily do this, and then build a trip around him or her. Now, they would get the tour conductor. We would not accompany the trip, although we did accompany low-cost country cooking to South, to Savannah because our client in Charleston, because our chef moved to a different city and lost interest in marketing it. But, I mean, we did wine and dine up the California coastline and put them on the California wine train. We did a movable feast in New Orleans. We did, we talked to one of the cruise lines that was doing a New England cruise, Princess, and we talked them into giving us a group rate. So it rolled back by about $400 a person from the rack rate. We put $300 worth of travel stuff in, and you still was $100 cheaper than the average cost on the cruise. We had our chef took them to the premier restaurant in Boston before they left because the premier French restaurant in Boston he picked. We got the Julia Child of Canada on TV in Halifax to do a cooking demonstration for them, and they got to keep the recipes. Yeah. We found an island near Prince Edward Island, a small island where there was an inn owned by a German and his French wife. They had a three-course meal there, and they got to keep the recipes. Wow. And then our chef gave a demonstration in the Princess Demonstration Kitchen only for our people. And the Princess chefs gave a demonstration. And believe me, that was hard to work out because they were insurance questions about whether our chef could do a demonstration or not. But we thought they should have two cooking demos on board. And so, I mean, it was fabulous. It was, we sold it out a couple. We repeated it. And as I said, if Robin were still living, that's what we would really be focusing on because I think that that is a niche. And I encourage any home-based agent to look at a niche. Do you have a sport that you like are you a golfer or a kayaker? Do you have an interest with us? It was cooking. I mean, it's even very like there are quilting. If you do quilting, some of our friends do that. There are places that have things all over. I just talked to someone who is a dance instructor, and she organizes groups. Now, she does it herself, but she could easily do it with an agent. She'd probably be better served, I would think. But anyway, she gets the TC, the tour conductor. So. To go to different dance competitions. And she takes people that, I mean, if you look at, there are so many for specialty niches that you can develop. And I think a home-based agent would be really good on that. We actually, over the course, in fact, I'm doing one now, but did Holy Land tours. And there are Holy Land tours for Christian groups. There are Holy Land tours for Jewish groups. And then there are Holy Land tours for evangelical Christian groups. I have to tell you, I had a Catholic client on one of our Holy Land tours, which we did through a Catholic church. And he said that almost every site they went to, he and his wife encountered a buses of this Baptist church from the South. And he said the Baptist church was mostly African-American, very, really enthusiastic and very outgoing, and they were singing hymns and everything. And he said he and his wife tagged along at some of the sites with the Baptist groups because they were more fun than their Catholic group.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
I'm not making a religious judgment here, right. But, you know. And the other thing is, you know, your travel agent is your lifeboat. And if you can prove to the customer that you have service. I know when we were talking earlier, Barry, I mentioned to you some of the interesting stories that got in, that actually true stories that happened. One of them I don't think I told you is that one of our gals had someone that she was doing a Europe trip through, but she didn't do the Paris hotel because the person said they found a place online. It was a independent, you know, apartment, and she wanted to do that. So the client did that piece, and our gal did everything else. And Ellen got a call from Paris, frantic. The woman got there, had prepaid a week, and it was a vacant lot. There was no hotel, there was no apartment, anything there. So Ellen got her an apartment, but it was not at the most reasonable price. Also, we had a client that we, I forget which cruise line, but one of the Alaska ones. And we primarily used Holland American and Princess to Alaska, but sometimes we used Royal Caribbean, Celebrity, or Carnival, but depending on the client's budget. But anyway, Judy said, well, our agent, you know, you might we request a complimentary upgrade if available. And we had a good rapport and a good fine business with this line. And so the guy bought a guaranteed outside cabin, which is, you know, minimum outside. And a group canceled, and he got a 6-category upgrade to a junior suite. And we said, now when you call him back, Judy, you tell him that this is rare, we're delighted, but this is doesn't usually happen. She said, okay. So she called him back, and she said, we're so glad, and you only get it because you dealt with our agency, and we have volume sales with the cruise line, blah, blah. So I'm not kidding you, Barry, the next year he called and said, I want to do the same thing. I want to pay for a minimum guarantee outside and get a junior suite. and Robin or I, one of us, talked to him and explained why that couldn't happen, and he was amenable. He ended up booking with us. But, you know,
that's good.
You have to be... You know, you have to be really kidding. And I know I told you that Windjammer Cruises went out of business, in my opinion, because Captain Mike's kids took it over and started, you know, doing private charters. He had 6 kids, and they didn't, I don't think they were old enough to understand the business. But anyway, way back when Windjammer, the barefoot cruising, my sister and I had gone with 2 friends on Windjammer, liked it. It's family-style eating. It's very intimate. You know, you're diving, and you get to know people. Somebody brings out a guitar for entertainment. It was very laid back. So anyway, I had booked a family on it, and I called to check on something. It was the largest Windjammer ship, the Fantôme, but they had smaller ships. And the woman who answered the phone said, oh, that's the partial nude cruise. And I said, I beg your pardon. They had a nudist group book on the trip, charter the whole thing, and they didn't fill it, so they released the cabins. And they had let me book my clients book on a cruise, never telling me. So if I hadn't called for this little incidental thing, I wouldn't have known. Well, on the spot, I moved my clients to another ship, but I said to the reservationist, I'm a businesswoman, you know, why, when the nudist couldn't get enough cabins, didn't you put them on one of your smaller ships? You have smaller ships.
Yeah.
And, you know, or else move all of the non-nudists to another sailing. Well, obviously they wanted to fill the ship. But can you imagine my parents and 2 young children would have gotten to the dock on a very intimate cruise where you're, you know, everybody's in close quarters and eats family style and table stuff, and it would have been a partial nude cruise.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, and I was clear to the clients that I had found this out because, again, who knows if you book it on your own direct, this is as the internet was rising, that you don't have these. I mean, your travel agent is your protector. And I think that there's a lot of times that I will, Robin had a client that said that we were honeymooners and they wanted to have a adult experience. They didn't want kids. So we put them on Holland American. We figured that Holland American will attract an older clientele. And she booked them in October for a June honeymoon. And in February, and this is when the Olsen twins were teenagers, they booked the Olsen twins fan club on Holland American on that sailing. They had 42 honeymoon couples on that sailing, and they booked, and unbeknownst to us, Holland American did not call Twin Horizons and say, by the way, do you want to move your clients to another ship? So they had 2,000 screaming teenagers on board the ship, and of course they came back upset. And my sister called Holland American and said, our Holland American rep, and said, you know, this is Twin Horizons' reputation too, and you're giving them a free cruise. And they said, well, the other 41 honeymooners didn't ask them. I'm saying, well, the other 41 honeymooners didn't go with Twin Horizons Travel, and you're
right.
Giving them a free cruise. Look at our volume sales, blah, blah. So anyway, it took a little while. She got a free cruise for the honeymooners. And, you know, we made out because not only did they speak well of us, but the next year they sailed on their anniversary, and they took both sets of parents. So we sold 2 cabins, you know, so it worked out. So there's a problem, I think, is always a challenge to turn it around and keep the client and show them that you could be happy. I mean, way, way before there were electronic tickets, and way before we had Twin Horizons, actually, Robin and I went into, for one of the agencies we were managing, on Easter Sunday, because a woman's brother had died in Switzerland, and she had to have a paper ticket, so we met her after church. You know, that woman was a client of ours and a client of Twin Horizons, you know, until her death, 10 years later, you know? And
yeah.
If you say, what would I want in this situation? How would it work out for me? You know, and by the way, to talk about the Olsen twins cruise, Robin said, I'm a twin, and I wouldn't want to sail with the Olsen twins fan club. That same year, I had people booked at the Opryland Hotel, and they have really wanted to go to the Opryland Hotel. And they were seniors, and they were in the senior rate. And about 3 months before, I get a call from the Opryland Hotel saying, we noticed that you had people at the senior rate, and we just booked the national cheerleading competition. So there'll be, you know, screaming cheerleaders running throughout the hotel. And I called them, and I talked to the gentleman, and I said, do you want me to look for another hotel? And he said, well, we always really wanted to go to the Opry Hotel. Let me talk to my wife. And he came back on the phone. Now they're in their 60s. And he said, no, we'll go there. My wife says she'll take her cheerleading outfit. But at least I gave them the warning, Barry. At
sure.
least I told them. And again, they think, well, my travel agent is up to bat for me. You know, and so, I mean, you know, you have things. Travel, part of the adventure is that sometimes things can go awry that you don't expect. And so if you are there for your clients, and, I mean, we didn't encourage our clients to call all the time, but after hours, if it was a big trip or a good client or something like that, we told all of our agents, you know, you only work for the agency. We own it. So give them our home phone number, and, you know, we would get called at 2 in the morning. Not a lot, but, you know, something happened with the train in Japan. And, I mean, it would take us 10 minutes to solve the problem and go back to sleep, whereas our client would be, you know, stuck there. And,
sure.
You know, you keep clients. You develop people that are your sales force. With a home-based agency, I think that would be wonderful to have clients out there selling for you.
Oh, yeah, and you have to. I mean, any agency, you need those referrals. That you just can't exist without them.
And we called it our accident or birth, but we marketed it shamelessly and named the agency. But we had people referring to Twin Horizons Travel all the time. And, of course, you could find it a little more easily because of the twins. But it was great because, you know, your good clients are actually your sales force. In addition to, you know, we did the speaking engagements. Like I said, we did the rubber chicken circuit and that sort of thing.
Sure.
But it was wonderful. We had a great run. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And after my sister died, I became the primary caregiver for both my parents. My dad died a year later, 2 weeks prior to their 59th wedding anniversary of end-stage Alzheimer's. And my mom died of a different kind of cancer after being 2 years in home hospice. I was the primary caregiver. So I really became a home-based agent during those experiences. I had some respite care, but I was grateful for my work was a break from my caregiving responsibilities. And I'm not saying I'm an angel, Barry. We had wonderful, wonderful parents that raised 4 children in an intact, loving home. So, but everything is very, very different. I tell you, I kind of miss the one thing about being a home-based agent. You really should go to the presentations that the tour companies and cruise lines put on, and so forth. Because I miss the camaraderie.
I did
get all of our agents jobs. My one gal didn't want to still be a travel agent, so I got her job managing a chocolate shop in Columbus. Pretty good deal, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
But I do have them as backup. And, you know, now that my parents are both gone and I've moved back into my sister and my condo, I'm thinking about the next step. And I wonder, as I said, I have an Episcopalian church I'm doing a Holy Land tour for. So the business is out there. If you develop, there's a woman here in Columbus, and she recently passed away. She was quite elderly, but for the bulk of her career, she did religious groups and went to the church and really had a following. Now, particular to Columbus, this may translate to some communities and not to others, but Ohio State basketball here and football are Ohio State football is like a religion here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yep.
People have scarlet and gray cars, which are the color. So when they do go to a bowl game, that's a nice bunch of change at the end of the year. My sister and I, you know, were casually interested in football. We grew up in Bowling Green, Ohio, that has Bowling Green Falcons with the university. Horrible colors, brown and orange. Ohio State's are scarlet and gray, much better. But anyway, and we would do Twin Horizons, we were mid-sized by that time. I guess we weren't really small anymore, but a mid-sized travel agency, we sent a chartered plane, almost 300 people, just us alone, and not counting the other agencies. There's a couple agencies in town that specialize in high state sports travel. But we sent, because I guess of our presence on the air, and people knew about it, we filled a charter plane the year they won the national championship. And I'll tell you, at the end of the year, that's a nice chunk of change to get. So I would say think about the athletic departments, even if you're a home-based agent. What we did, and this is critical if you do game travel, we got a supplier, ours happens to be in Atlanta, a company that really could get tickets. The guy that headed the sports company there could get game tickets. His wife worked in a sports ticketing thing in Atlanta. He may still, I don't know, I don't do the bowl games. Now it's just me, but I mean, I do occasional booking, but I don't do the bulk, the groups, which is, and the key when you do that, Barry, is you have to test the company out because he always had game tickets. The year we sent a lot of people to one of the bowl games, it wasn't the year we sold a charter, but we sent a lot of people. Wisconsin, I think it was their football team going to a bowl game. The people got there and they had the company they used did not get the game tickets. And so they took a trip there. I mean, that can really come back on you because that you really have to have insurance and stuff like that. Fortunately, we picked well, and we had a wholesale of it. But if you get a wholesale, you can trust. Or if you get your own game tickets, I'm not exactly sure how that works, but if you have a connection with a university or a sports team. I mean, right now in Columbus, our hockey team is a member of the NHL, and they're doing well. And so people are rabid hockey fans, and they follow them everywhere. And so sports travel, I think, is really an interesting niche. My brother goes to the Final Four if the basketball team that he's interested in is playing, and he pays top dollar for it. I'll get him, you know, he wants the best, blah, 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 because he's CEO of a software company. So there's a rabid sports fan, I think, are a market, and you can do that home-based if you get the right ground operators. You have to be very careful. That's one that has to be. But of course, they mark all these trips up horrendously. So there is a commission in it because the hotels double their prices whenever there's the Rose Bowl on or something like that.
Sure.
So.
Well, this has been great. I think we've had a wonderful time here with you and interesting stories, interesting advice, and it's just been a great experience. And I really appreciate coming on. This was kind of a last-minute request.
Well, yeah, I found out yesterday, but that's okay. I can talk about travel till the cows come home there, at one of our Midwestern expressions. I do think my parents lived the golden rule. They were fabulous parents, but do unto others. They patterned it. They didn't talk about it. They just were that way. And so my two brothers and my sister and I were taught to be empathetic to other people. I think that really serves you well in our business because sometimes you literally think, what would I feel like if I was going to Switzerland just to do a hike and there was an avalanche or something like that? Or, boy, I really should recommend that these people go to Bruges, Belgium, because it's a canal city and we had a great time. And actually, it works both ways because for years and years till he passed away, we had a food critic for the Dispatch, and there's a magazine here, Columbus Monthly, and he was a food critic for both of them until his passing. And I remember we suggested that he go to Bruges, Belgium, because we thought it was a charming city, one of our favorites. Hong Kong, Bruges, there's some places in the world that really, I don't know if I go to Hong Kong right now, but give him some time.
Yeah.
And I remember Ben sent us a card back, a postcard. And I'm telling you, Barry, the whole postcard was the description of the menu of a place he'd eaten.
Oh.
So, being a food critic, it was a successful trip. But we also had a client. I remember going to England once, and it was actually one of our agents that was really loyal to her. But Robin and I helped our agent find. He collected apothecary bottles. He was a doctor. Hmm. And he was going to England. And it took a while, and we had to talk to the British Tourist Bureau and find out. We found a tour guide who also collected apothecary bottles, took him on a tour, apothecary day in London. I mean, the client was just, really impressed. And we did all the rest of his family travel, and he was a doctor. So, it was good travel.
Oh, yeah.
He had the means. But what I'm saying is I think it's really important to look at I'm straight, but there's a large gay community in Columbus, and we had a large gay listenership on WSU, and we found the places that were gay welcoming in the different destinations. And when we had a same-sex couple going somewhere, we knew where to put them and where to send them. And so it was very, everybody's money is green, Barry.
Oh yeah.
So we had a. Have had a good solid following in that, and you learn for that market segment where the places are to recommend. And we didn't have a gay person on staff on our staff, but we had a large following of gay clients because, again, within that community, people would say, hey, Twin Horizons Travel will be able to find a place for you that's perfect for you and set you up well and that sort of thing. And so, I mean, we love the easy sales that were the cruises and stuff, but the FITs, which are the foreign independent tours, putting things together piece by piece, that is a lot of fun. It's challenging, and it's not really as lucrative because I find sometimes when I'm putting people in little tiny hotels throughout Europe or the Far East or something like that, we're kind of piecing it together. It may be, I mean, we get commissions, but maybe you don't get the big commission you would get if you were sending them on safari to Africa, which, by the way, is fun, too. But we had a gal in our office that loved animals, and Diana would be the safari person just because my sister and I like the cooler climates. I mean, if we came back from Scandinavia and said, let's move the agency to Minneapolis so we can sell Scandinavia all day. You know, the first people that people go abroad, usually it's London, Paris, Rome, that kind of stuff. I find Florence a better walking city. They're not kidding about the Seven Hills of Rome. But there's not a central. It's kind of like Tokyo. There's not a center. Tokyo or L.A. is not a center. But we actually, Robin and I went to Whistler, Canada in the summer because we say that they take the travel agents off season and the real people on season. But it's a ski destination, but it was great. We said they should have a Winter Olympics here, and you know what? A couple of years later, they did.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. So it's fun. It's a really fun industry, and done right, what's challenging and fun is that something different every day. You're not doing the same thing over and over again. Your clients, unless even with a specialty niche, you can still broaden a little, and every day is a different challenge. I enjoy that part of it.
And you're doing something that makes people happy.
Another practical tip is a plan to go deposit. I think particularly for a home-based agency, because you don't want to do a knowledge dump of all your years of experience and then have your client take your information and book it at 2 in the morning. So I'm very cautious. And I will tell you how we did this. Very one thing about having Travel Talk with the Twins on the radio is some, especially new clients, would confuse the fact that when we were on the air, we were there to give advice to everybody. But in our office, we were there to do business. And we would occasionally have to say, you know, if you have this question about a trip you've previously booked by yourself or with another agent, please call us. And we're on Tuesdays, and please call us on Tuesdays at WSU, because we're here to do business with our clients. And we could give suggestions and recommendations, but and, you know, we got a lot of business out of it, so that was fine. That was the trade-off to help service somebody else's sale, but not in our business. So about 5 years into the radio show, and by that time we had Twin Horizons, and it was a fledgling company, I got a call from someone, and here's your state dollars to work, because many of our state employees are very industrious here. But apparently this guy worked for the state of Ohio, and he closed his office door, and he worked on his honeymoon. So he told me very proudly, of the 24 travel agents I talked about my honeymoon cruise, you're the one that I think is going to be the best for us.
Wow.
And I said, you know, 24 other people spent time planning this trip, and they're not going to get a booking. He could have cared less. You know, he wanted to have a perfect honeymoon, and he thought I was the one that would give it to him. So I got the booking, but the story is 24 other people didn't. So just, I think it was almost the same week or a couple weeks. Robin had a client, and we've been discussing with our coworkers, with our employees about having a plan to go, but we didn't have one at that point. Robin got a client that she planned a round-the-world trip with a round-the-world airfare, stops everywhere. It was a work of art. And he asked her to email him the whole, all the information, which she did, because she trusted. He was a radio show listener. Mostly the radio show listeners that called us for a trip went with us and so forth. And he called her back and said, it's perfect, it's great, I'm going to do it, but my brother-in-law just bought a travel agency, I'm going to have him book everything you did. Hmm. And my sister took a breath, and she said, you understand, I did all the work, and we don't make money unless the money until after we make the bookings. Oh, well, you know. So Robin left the door open. She swallowed her pride and said, well, okay, if something happens, come back to me. Actually, his brother-in-law got that trip, but the agency failed, and he called us back a couple years and traveled with us from then on. But that doesn't necessarily happen. The point being, the importance of a plan to go deposit came to us. Now, being that you don't always want to ask people for money, if you know you don't, sometimes you can get uncomfortable. what we had all of our agents do, and we did as well, is say, we have a plan to go to POSIT. This is going to be a very complicated trip that I'm going to put the pieces together. I'm delighted to do it, and I can do it well. I mean, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not charge you the plan to go to POSIT, but I want your credit card. And if I do all the research on this and give you all the information, particularly send you emails, and you don't end up not booking with us, we will charge $100 on your credit card. That's the plan to go. We want you to know that up front. Now, it was $100 to do with an FIT. Some of our really good clients, if they had something come up and we knew they were going to continue traveling with us, we waived it. Our agents could check with Robin or I and see, can we waive this because this is somebody that travels with us twice a year or something. But someone that just called from out of nowhere or was an armchair traveler, we had one of them that was a radio show listener. Here's the downside to the radio. And about the first five times our agent planned a trip for her, we believed she was going to travel. But then it occurred to us that she just enjoyed having trips planned, and she was not able or willing to ever go. So a plan to go to POSIT, that probably was peculiar to us because we were on the air and people got to know us as the Travel Twins. But, you know, it can happen. And so late middle age, and it was part of her hobby to plan trips, but it became clear to us after about the fifth one she was never intending to take one. So we refer to the library, you know, read some travel books, you know. So that, I think that especially if you're working on your own, being that I'm doing it now, I have not really had this arise since my sister's death, but it is possible. I mean, you know, and I think that your valuable time is best spent with people that are going to go. Now, there are circumstances that happen that people don't go, and if it's a friend or whatever, I don't know how people want to do that. I personally feel that my time that I spend on travel, because I volunteer for other things to honor my sister and my parents, is best spent with people who are going to take the trip or at least, you know, sincerely think they're going to. So I think with a home-based agent working on their own, that is a very critical point. And I think the other thing is, with home-based agencies, is differentiate yourself. Go for something, a unique niche, or provide an extra service, or, the St. Andrews Golf, the first thing comes to me, it's a lottery system, and it's really hard to get someone to golf at St. Andrews in Scotland, but I have put people in the lottery, and I've looked it for them, and I think that the Lord shined on me, Barry, because my brother got a tee time at St. Andrews, which, wow. You know, you can't do anything, you can't make that happen, you know, mm-hmm. But what you can do is you can lay the groundwork and hope that it does happen. And so so that's another tip, I think, is the plan to go, I believe, in this environment with the Internet. The other side of that is my radio show listener, again, I guess, called, and she had talked her husband into letting us plan their South Pacific trip, but she wanted one of the twins, so she worked with Robin. And she told Robin, I am so glad, I am so relieved, and actually you can use this as a selling point. She said, my husband has been spending hours every night on Australia and New Zealand and our trip there, and she said, it's a big trip for us, and, you know, it was costly, but she said, you knew places right away. You had suggestions we never thought of. I'm sure Robin suggested the Gond train, which is similar to the Orient Express or the Royal Scotsman. It's a very lovely train, you know, uh-huh. Stuff that they would not have. And so having that we do this all day, every day, and the woman's point was she would rather her husband spend time with the family than hours and hours on the computer when we could put it together and they had a great time, a lovely trip, and they became good clients. But that's the point, a selling point to the general public. Why should I book with you and not somebody else? And I have to tell you, Barry, just have to tell you the story because I had clients book a trip in February for October to Disney. And, you know, Disney's not going to discount their prices, maybe a little for some of the mega agencies. But we were an authorized Disney agency, so we had good relationship with them, and which is based on your volume of sales, by the way, if you're an independent agent. And so I had this couple sitting in front of me, and literally the man said to the woman, why are we booking with her? She can't get us any better prices than we can get booking online. And then I was able to say, well, I'll book dining reservations for you, and I will give you suggestions as this and that, and I'll tell you about the Hidden Mickeys and about the Express Pass and everything. He wasn't impressed. Uh-huh. So they were going in October. They booked in February. In August, Disney came out with, for September, and new bookings in September and October, that they would give a free meal plan. Now, that's a real value, Barry, the Disney meal plan, because it's one snack, which is like people use for breakfast, one counter service, so like a fast food, you can use that for lunch, and one sit-down dinner. Not the specialty dinners, but a sit-down dinner. And it's really can save. It's a good value for families. I believe in that. I'm not as crazy about their water pass, but because I don't think you're going to swim that much. But anyway, the water park pass. But the Disney meal plan, I believe in, because you're stuck at Disney. You're going to get food there anyway, and it's quite expensive. So anyway, well, not stuck at Disney. You're having a great time. But in other words, you're not going to have food other places.
Right.
You have to eat at the Disney restaurants. So anyway, what happened is my sister and I told our agents to get all their bookings that were going within those dates. And we called our Disney rep and we said, look, Gary, we said, here are all these people. They're going off season when you're trying to track business and you're penalizing them because they didn't book early. Well, no, it's just a promotion to get up the bookings, blah, blah, blah. You say, yeah, but look at how many people we have going at that time. And our Twin Horizons clients are not going to be there with people that got a free Disney meal package and they didn't. And it took a while. And it took some conversations and a visit to our office from him. And he realized that we weren't going to budge.
Oh, yeah.
And that we were kind of a client because we did a nice, decent volume business in Disney. So anyway, he gave us an okay for all of our clients to get the package, even though they had previously booked it, when they're not new bookings. And we told every agent, when you call, you stress that they're only getting this because they want Twin Horizons Travel, because they wouldn't get it booking on their own. So I called this couple, and the woman answered the phone. I said, get your husband on the extension, and she did. And I said, booking on your own, you would not get this. Because I went to bat for you, and they had two children, and they were going for 5 or 6 days. It saved them $800. It was an $800
wow.
value for
oh,
that
yeah.
family on a 5-day trip, Barry. And I mean, to his credit, on the phone, he said to his wife, "I see now why we went with the travel agent." And I said, "Why you went with this travel agency, Twin Horizons Travel?" You know, but I corrected that. But the point was, we went to bat for them. We saw this promotion, thought, no, we don't want our people in the park, and find out the people, even though it was a new booking, so it was a tremendous value for our clients. It paid off for us in continued business. And by gosh, I got to tell this client why he used a travel agent,
yeah.
specifically our travel agency. So I not only kind of, my sister and I think, and our agents went above and beyond, Barry, but we also let the clients know. We also let them know this is not something that you could get on your own. So this
sure.
is an advantage of using a travel agent. I have a client, he's a retired judge here in Columbus, and he says, and when there's a snafu on my trip, and there was a snafu that came up with one of his trips, which was not had nothing, it was weather related, and he said, I knew that I would just call you and you take care of it. And he called me. He called me from Brussels, and I said, I'll take care of it, and you just go, and you and Ellen go and have dinner, and when you get his wife, and when you come back, call me, and it'll be done. And he said, having dealt with me, he knew that that was it. So. And it requires a commitment. I guess home-based agents, I don't know what the hour type thing is, but when we had the bricks and mortar, my sister and I, as the agency became more successful, would allow ourselves to get in a little later in the morning. The office opened at 8:30. God love those gals that came in at 8:30. Well, we would come in usually around 9:30, 10. We stayed till 8, 7 or 8, because the transatlantic connections on the East Coast are 6 and 7. And if we had somebody that was making a transatlantic flight, we would be there to answer the phone if there was, Continental says, well, we're not operating out of Newark, so you have to go to London. That's the last flight, so you have to go to London tomorrow, miss a day of your trip. And Robin and I knew that the Virgin Atlantic flight departed 2 hours later, and we put them on Virgin Atlantic, So, I mean, you saved them a day of their vacation if something was going on. Continental had a mechanical or something like that. So that is invaluable to people, that they have a backup. If you're their backup while they're traveling, you just don't take the money and run. And I've said that to people before, even on something as simple as the cruise booking. I said, I'm not going to just take your money and run. If you have any questions, if anything comes up, if you want my help picking out shore excursions, I got to tell you, Barry, I predate the I remember when cruise lines paid for shore excursions, and when they decided many of them, some of them include the shore excursions, and some of the river cruises include the shore excursions, of course. But I remember I had 6 people going to Alaska on a cruise, and I won't see what line it was, but they changed that they would stop paying for shore excursions. These people spent $2,000 a couple on shore excursions. So I would have made a $600 commission at 10%, and I think we were making a little bit, and they had stopped commissioning the shore excursions, and I was like, oh! But, you have to find the other ways. You have
sure.
to find the other added value. And I encourage people, if they have a niche, one reason that Twin Horizons was successful, Twin Horizons Travel Culinary Trips, was we didn't aspire to make a killing in commission. We made a decent commission. We made a good commission. But I think, looking at it as we got into it, that some of these, you know, eight people going to Tuscany with the cooking instructor trips, I think they're putting in my opinion, the agencies that are putting the trips together are getting too greedy, because I can see where I can do it for much less cost, same trip, for much less cost, the client, same, you know, cooking in a kitchen with a Tuscan grandmother or something, you know, and charge less. And our feeling, especially when we started our culinary trips, is offer them at a reasonable price and get more people to go. I mean, then you establish your list of people that you're the first people you approach when you put together another cooking trip, and make a reasonable amount of money, but don't, you know, feel like you have to. We would give the TC to the travel tour conductor, to the chef, and if he or she would really do a good job in marketing. We capped our trips usually at 40 or 50, because you do not want to have a lot of people at a cooking demonstration. You know, you can only fit so many people, and sometimes less. But if they would bring enough people, then the spouse would get the discount as well. But that's pretty much what they got, was the TC. And then we kept Twin Horizons made a decent commission, but we didn't make an exorbitant commission. And I truly feel like that was one of the, because some of our culinary trips were priced lower than people could get.
You know, I've got one more question, and you know, sure. and it's for our listeners.
My life's an open book.
Well, if you don't want to answer this, that's fine. But if people wanted to get a hold of you, our listeners, would you have an email address for them or a website?
The website is TwinHorizonsTravel.com. It's kind of a static website. I haven't put down that she died on it, but it's www.TwinHorizonsTravel.com, all spelled out. And actually, the thing that might be interesting on that, even to you, Barry, is if you go to About Us, if you click on About Us, Robin and I profiled all of our ages. The top is about Robin and I, and I haven't updated in ages, but there are pictures. Say that if they have any email inquiries, to address them to Susan, S-U-S-A-N, Robin, R-O-B-I-N, 29, I'm not very original, but Susan Robin 29 at columbus.rr.com. columbus.rr.com.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Susan, for sharing your story, your wisdom, and what it takes to succeed. You know, I know we've all suffered loss, but for most of us, it's impossible to know the pain of losing someone who is genetically identical and losing someone with that special bond. You know, I know our listeners who are special people, I know they're sending you love. So we all wish you the best, Susan. And if you liked this show, drop me an email at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. Or leave a comment over on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS. There, got it out. So, safe travels, everyone. Stay healthy, and we will see you next month. Bye for now.